first big trade of the NBA season is here between the Washington Wizards and the Los Angeles Lakers, but lo and behold, the Phoenix Suns did have a role to play, and they'll have less of a role to play with those two teams going forward. I'll tell you why on today's episode of Locked On Suns.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past six seasons, and a writer at Suns.com and Dime Magazine. Thank you all for making Locked On Suns your first listen today and every day. Happy Tuesday. We have another game tonight. Hopefully, four in a row is the goal. The Charlotte Hornets are in town. I will be at that game. Hit subscribe or follow on whatever podcast platform you are finding us on. You can get that game recap episode tonight from me. You can get more episodes Monday through Friday every single week to keep up with your favorite team. If you are on YouTube, hit the bell down below. Get a notification when a new show goes live and drop a comment with your thoughts on this Wizards-Lakers trade, which is how we're going to start today's show. Came down right about as I was sitting down to record, and then another article came out that actually reinforced the Suns' connection to this whole thing over at Yahoo Sports. So let's dive into that. First, today's show, guys, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of the Locked On Podcast Network. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. More from them later in the show. Rui Hachimura to the Washington Wizards for Kendrick Nunn and 3 second round picks, kicked off NBA trade season and had a lot of Suns tie-ins. First of all, we knew the Hachimura connection a couple of weeks ago. It actually was what inspired me to come on here and complain about James Jones a little bit, because the Suns reportedly were in on Hachimura last month at some point. And that leaked out. Then you had the Wizards come in and say, no, we never offered that. We never had Rui in any sort of conversations around Crowder or with the Suns, with any team, whatever. We don't know how much of any of that was true, but we know the Suns were sniffing around Hachimura. There were talks, apparently Shams Charania had it, that the Suns had been pursuing Hachimura continually up until this trade happened today. And then you have Jake Fisher with some reports that there was a three-team version of this trade that almost went down until the Lakers. I think what really got it done, if you read around, is the Lakers went from 2 seconds to 3 seconds in their offer, and Washington finally went ahead and accepted it. You also had Rui over the weekend talking to reporters about how he wants to be somewhere where he's valued and he doesn't know about his future with the team. I'm sure that didn't hurt his case to get moved sooner rather than later either. And so when you go to that three-team trade that apparently was being talked about between Washington, the Lakers, and the Suns, you inevitably come back to Kyle Kuzma. And the fact that that didn't happen, the fact that Hachimura is now gone, and the fact that right away you're reading that Kuzma is in fact going to be in Washington to stay. Now, how long he stays is a subject for negotiations between his agent and the Wizards this summer. He is going to probably be an unrestricted free agent if he declines his player option. But for now, it would appear he's no longer on the table. And that's big news. That's the real headline here from a Suns standpoint. Yes, they didn't get Hachimura. I'm not sure he would have been an awesome fit anyway. I'm actually pretty optimistic that the Suns can get a better player than him, and I don't think he would have been a great help for this team. I have to believe the Suns were pursuing Kuzma in those three-team trades, and now they don't get him. So that being the headline, from a Suns standpoint, it's a major player we thought could be available for this team that no longer is. And yeah, from a Suns standpoint, considering We've heard over and over that they were pursuing him. We know he likes this team. It's kind of crazy how much we know that in terms of posting pictures in Suns gear, in terms of live tweeting Suns games and big Booker performances and everything else. He has flirted with the Suns for a long time. So it's not to say I'm closing the book completely that he could become available. The trade deadline is still 2+ weeks from now. A lot still can change, but the Wizards are apparently putting out there, according to Jake Fisher, that Kuzma is off the table. And that affects the whole market, right? So if Kuzma's not available, that could make a guy like Bojan Bogdanović, Eric Gordon, Malik Beasley, these veteran players, a little more expensive to go out and acquire because now the seller side of the market probably got a little more pricey. They can up their ante because there's not as many players to go get. If you want a difference maker, well, the price just went up, right? The other part of this, too, when you talk about those names, Beasley's a little younger, but Bojan, Gordon, those guys are older players, and they're either on the end of their contract or they're nearing the end of their contract. Kuzma is, too, but you would have expected the Suns to re-sign him if they went out and got him because he's young. Right. And so with Bogdanović, with Gordon, with Beasley, with any of these players, whoever you want to put out there, a lot of the names we've been hearing are older players and they probably are rentals. And so what Kuzma leaving results in is you're probably looking at a little bit more of a short term acquisition. I think that is how the Suns probably are reframing their pursuits. We know they're still in on guys like maybe KJ Martin from the Rockets, maybe Jared Vanderbilt from the Jazz. Those guys are even younger than Kuzma. But I would think it's more likely than not that the types of players the Suns will be targeting in terms of role players are going to be on the older side now that Kuzma is off the table. But maybe more importantly than any of that, the NBA trade market is... It's going. It's moving right along now. You had Jay Crowder tweeting hourglasses and clocks and various time-related emojis again, and it feels like this is the Noah Vonleh salary dump was not the beginning of trade season. This feels like the beginning of trade season. The Wizards now changing their approach. The Lakers starting to make some moves and get some talent on board. Those are our teams and things we knew would happen. They're happening. And it's just a matter of time before more teams follow suit, including the Phoenix Suns. But let's return to the actual playing court. Again, a game tonight against the Charlotte Hornets. The Suns are getting players back. And it's not just who they're getting back. It's what those guys do, particularly when you look at how they make their teammates better. The two guys the Suns got back specifically do that perhaps more than anyone outside of Devin Booker. We'll talk about why and how next. First, today's show once again brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook. That's right. The Locked On Podcast Network has a new sports betting partner. The reason we love FanDuel here on the Locked On Podcast Network is they're the number one sportsbook in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, even better. We're new, so are you, and they have so many great features that make sports betting fun and easy. New customers who join today can get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. Talked about the championship game odds, which are all up for pro football at FanDuel. I believe it was 1.5 for the Chiefs. I believe it was 2.5 at home for the 49ers. You have over-unders, you have money lines, you have parlays, like I just said, all on an app that's safe and super easy to use and best of all secure. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Cam Johnson returned to the court on Thursday, and then we saw Chris Paul return to the court on Sunday. Both did not play on Saturday. Cam sat the first night of a back-to-back. They both started on Sunday. They both played quite a few minutes. Feels like those guys are going to be in the lineup, in the rotation, trustworthy, reliable players for the foreseeable future. And that might sound like a little bit flowery, but that's just important to state first and foremost. The Suns have their talented players back. Their best players are getting healthy. With Cam Johnson, it might not seem like he's a player who makes other guys better around him, but he is. The Suns are 17.7 points per 100 possessions better when Cam Johnson is on the floor this season. That's the best mark on the team. So of all the players on the Suns, that includes Devin Booker, that includes Mikal Bridges, that includes Chris Paul, Cam Johnson makes the biggest impact on versus off the court of anyone on the team. Now, some of that is colored, right? Because he was healthy during the beginning of the season when they were really good, and then he's been healthy for these two wins on Thursday and Sunday when they played pretty well also. But it's not just the winning or losing or point margin. It's also what they're able to do with him out there. The Suns shoot 8% better at the rim when Cam Johnson is on the court. Now, you might be thinking, why are those things connected? But if you think, what do we talk about with floor spacing, right? It opens up the middle of the court. And so DeAndre Ayton, those roles are a little cleaner because nobody's able to help off of Cam Johnson at the basket. The Suns' half-court offense is 10.3 points better per 100 possessions when Cam Johnson is on the court. Now, the better at the rim, better in the half-court stuff, Cam is up there with basically Booker and in a couple situations, Mikhail in terms of the impact. It's those three guys because, again, what do they provide? Shooting and a little bit of ball handling in the case of Bridges and Johnson. A lot of ball handling, obviously, in the case of Booker. And the bottom line with Cam Johnson is no one can replicate his movement, his IQ, his shooting talent on this roster, especially at his size. Like, you just really, you could just feel it from the minute he hits the floor. He's quicker, smarter, and bigger than almost anyone he's going to match up against. Does he have his shortcomings on defense? Yes. Is he an amazing guy with the ball in his hands at this point in his career? No. But come on. We know what he is. We know what he provides, and it's an elite impact when you look at those numbers. Obviously, switching to Chris Paul, it is no secret that Chris Paul makes an impact on the players around him, makes those guys better. He is the only guard on this team who can take care of the ball, who doesn't turn it over. I think I looked it up, and their turnover percentage when he's on the floor is 2.2 percentage points lower. That's an elite differential between off versus on when it comes to turnovers. And we saw it, right? The Warriors game late. Suns almost coughed up a win in that game despite having a 20-plus point lead because Josh Okogie, Mikal Bridges, Dwayne Washington Jr., those guys could not get the ball across the timeline and not turn it over. Chris Paul, you're not really worried about that. Are there Jose Alvarado moments where you start to second-guess it or someone's able to get under his skin? Yes, but in the grand scheme of things, Chris Paul is about as trustworthy as they come doing that. He also creates threes for other players better than anyone on this team can, better than most NBA players can. When you just think about the consistent, efficient pick-and-roll attack that Chris Paul is able to orchestrate for this team, I mean, if you think back the past two seasons before the injuries and age started to creep up on Chris Paul this year, there were tons of games when Devin Booker didn't play, or maybe he was in foul trouble, maybe he just wasn't himself, where, you know, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton pick and roll plus shooters and some, you know, intense high force defense was a recipe to win games by itself. Set aside Mikal Bridges developing, set aside DeAndre Ayton developing, set aside whether Devin Booker is available or not. That blueprint was enough. Kind of felt like that on Sunday, I would say, although Mikal was much more of a leading figure. Chris had the ball out of his hands quite a bit, but they have that to fall back on, and you're seeing it. And then, of course, you can't ignore the leadership and knowledge in late-game situations, the time management, just the patience, the calmness that Chris Paul brings, and we know why he makes teams better everywhere he goes. The reason I bring this all up is to highlight why the Suns made such a jump so quickly when these guys came back. They're on a winning streak. Saturday, you got to give it up to energy, IQ, cohesion, chemistry of this team beating the Pacers. Yes, they're in a losing streak, but the Suns lost games like that tons of times in December and January. So I give it up to them. But against the Nets, against the Grizzlies, two much better teams than the Pacers, and two better wins, I would say, too, in terms of bigger leads and everything else. The Suns got... They felt the effects of other players getting better by way of playing with Cam and Chris, and you're going to continue to see that, all right? This is part of why I've been so hard on DeAndre Ayton at times, because I genuinely do think he's a player who rises to the level of being able to make other guys better. Defensively, he's a player at his best who can clean up mistakes by his teammates. He is a player offensively with his hustle, getting to the offensive glass, sealing and creating opportunities, and then making those shots around the basket at a really high level, who can, maybe not the same way as a Chris Paul or a Devin Booker can, but he can make up for absences in the lineup. He can make his teammates better, and he doesn't always do that. And then obviously you don't have Devin Booker. Mikal Bridges not quite at that level, I wouldn't say. Maybe the second half of the season we'll continue to see him grow into being that type of player. And you're obviously getting beyond those players, you know, no one's gonna qualify. And so, yes, there were games where they got DeAndre Ayton back, right? He hasn't been out quite as much as other guys. We've had Mikal Bridges in this lineup. We've been watching Mikal Bridges for weeks. He never missed a game, right? And the Suns still didn't win consistently. And so it's obvious to say it with Chris Paul, but it is still worth reminding, I think, because he's been worse than normal, right? He's been weaker than his usual self this season, and I think there's a lot of people who still doubt him, but he's going to raise the floor of this team. And then Cam Johnson, whether you think of him that way or not, the stats show it, watching these games shows it. These players make their teammates better, and I think that's a big reason to feel confident that this run will continue. Maybe it's not a win streak. Maybe they don't keep winning and winning and winning, but I think there's every reason to believe that they have turned a corner on the season, and as they continue to get healthier, they'll just, that floor will just pump, 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 up, 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 and they will make a run up the Western Conference standings. Let's talk about that next. I want to give you a few things beneath the surface that have the Suns positioned well to continue to push their way up the Western Conference standings, including strength of schedule, home versus road, all of that. I'll break it down in just a moment for you after one more quick break. The Suns right now are tied for seventh in the Western Conference after beating Memphis on Sunday night. They also have the seventh best average point differential in the NBA. So that's a little, you know net rating. That's a little different than net rating, just from the standpoint of net rating is per 100 possessions. Average point differential is per game. All right. So how much are you beating your opponent by every night? How much are you outscoring your opponent by every night? Now, you can look at it total. You can look at it averaged out divided by the number of games they've played, and the Suns are seventh in that metric as well, which means they're basically right where they should be. Even though they've been pretty bad in the clutch and all that, injuries, everything, they've had some big wins, which I actually think evened things out when you remember they beat the Warriors by a lot, they beat the Grizzlies by a lot, even during their bad times. And I feel like that helped them stay positive in point differential. But nevertheless, that's where they are. They're 19-13 against the Western Conference as well, is the last part of this. All of that bodes well that they're in a good position, better than you would expect. And they are, they've already had success against the West in the past, which should lead you to believe, have some optimism about the future as well. We've talked a lot already as they've started to put things together and win at a little higher level lately, that they're tied in the loss column with the team in fifth place, which right now is Oklahoma City. Sorry, no, it's not. They're tied with the team in sixth in the loss column, which is the Clippers. They're one game back in the loss column from Dallas, who's in fifth. And so they're, you know, for all intents and purposes, you could have them at fifth tomorrow, you know, for all we know. But here's what's in the Suns' favor when you think about them making a run. They have the sixth strongest remaining strength of schedule in the West, which basically means they still have some games against the best teams in the West, and it probably also means they have to play a lot of the best Eastern Conference teams. We know they haven't played the Sixers at all yet. I don't think they've played the Bucks at all, if maybe one time, et cetera, et cetera. But they are behind Portland, Golden State, and the Clippers. So there's only five teams above them, but those are three of them, and those are all squads that we know are neck and neck. The Blazers are one game back in the loss column from the Suns. The Warriors are tied in the loss column with the Suns, and the Clippers are tied in the loss column with the Suns. So those three teams all have a harder strength of schedule, which is good news for the Suns. From a schedule standpoint, continuing on that trend, 33 games remaining for the Phoenix Suns. 19 of them are at home. So the Suns were very home heavy at the beginning of the season, and they're pretty home heavy at the very end of the season here. The middle was the road trip galore. They had the December where it felt like they were never here. They just got back from a big road trip, and then they have another one in the beginning of February. But basically from the trade deadline on to the end of the season, they have, maybe like two out of every three games are going to be at home. They also already have big wins over the Pelicans, the Grizzlies, the Warriors, and the Mavs in this conference. They'll play those teams again. Maybe not. Oh, they don't play Memphis again. I don't know if they play the Pelicans again, but Golden State and Dallas, they do. And Denver is the one they can't seem to beat. They have two games against Denver in the last couple weeks of the season. Those will be very, very interesting tests. I hope the seedings aren't decided by then so that we actually see those teams at their best playing against one another. But regardless, the Nuggets have kind of been the only bugaboo for this team. Other than that, the Pelicans, Grizzlies, Warriors, Mavs, as I just listed off, the Suns have been able to beat all of those teams already. Pretty, you know, healthy, realistic representations, although Booker didn't play in any of the Grizzlies games. But aside from that, you've really seen these teams at full strength, and the Suns have been able to beat those opponents. The last thing I will say here, moving off of the schedule, moving off of the standings a little bit, is when you look at the last 2 weeks, yes, the Suns are on a three-game win streak. Yes, they had the win over Golden State that kind of, I feel like, turned the season around a little bit from a spirit and competitiveness standpoint and energy standpoint. They've also quietly turned around their defense. They are 11th in defense over the last 2 weeks. And most of the time, at least with the Suns, although I think this is pretty true for most teams, when you watch them and you have the thought of, okay, they've figured this out, they're playing more competitive basketball, it feels better. A lot of the time, what that means is they're playing better defense. And so I think we can all sense it when we watch these guys, right? Whether it's Josh Okogie getting after it, whether it is transition defense being better, whether it's Ayton looking a little more engaged, Mikal Bridges not playing hurt or whatever was going on with him, and just stability. You know, I think recently, as I was just talking about in that last segment, a good defense starts with a good offense and vice versa, but having less terrible clunkers on offense is also going to help the defense. But that's probably the single most exciting and impressive and optimism-fueling thing about where the Suns are right now. They're right in the middle of the conference. They have some strength of schedule advantages over some of the teams in the middle with them, and they have a little bit of a home court advantage the rest of the way. But they have to play well for any of that to matter. And so seeing them get to 11th on defense, still missing Ayton in some of those games, still not having, you know, a replacement in for Jay Crowder, on and on. They've fought their way to that mark, and that's going to have to continue. We'll see if it does here on Tuesday night against the Hornets. I will be at that game. I will have a recap show for you right after I get home. In the meantime, thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen here on this Tuesday. Now go make Locked On NBA your second listen here on this Tuesday to get caught up on everything going on around the NBA. Big games every night. Locked On NBA has you covered on every single podcast platform, so go check them out, and I will talk to you all tonight.